For our Bible readings, we're going to turn first to page 209 in our church Bibles, in the 32nd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to begin reading at verse 15. Deuteronomy 32, verse 15. The title Jeshurun refers to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, stout, and sleek. Then he forsook God, who made him, and scoffed at the rock of his salvation. They stirred him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations. They provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons that were no gods, to gods they had never known, to new gods that had come recently, whom your fathers had never dreaded. You were unmindful of the rock that bore you, and you forgot the God who gave you birth. The Lord saw it and spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be, for they are a perverse generation, children in whom is no faithfulness. They've made me jealous with what is no God. They provoke me to anger with their idols. So I will make them jealous with those who are no people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled by my anger, and it burns to the depths of Sheol, devours the earth and its increase, and sets on fire the foundations of the mountains. And I will heap disasters upon them. I will expend my arrows on them. They shall be wasted with hunger and devoured by plague and poisonous pestilence. I will send the teeth of beasts against them, with the venom of things that crawl in the dust. Outdoors, the sword shall bereave, and indoors, terror. For young man and woman alike, the nursing child with the man of grey hairs. I would have said, I will cut them to pieces, I will wipe them from human memory, had I not feared provocation by the enemy, lest their adversaries should misunderstand, lest they should say, our hand is triumphant. It was not the Lord who did this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You'll find our second Bible reading in the 16th chapter of Luke, page 1055. Five is the page number of the church Bibles. Luke chapter 16, we begin reading at the 19th verse. Let us hear this portion of God's word. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not do so, and none may cross from there to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that we may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham. But if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, let's turn, please, to page 209 of our church Bibles, to the 32nd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And we have before us this afternoon in particular the next few verses of this chapter, verses 23, 24, and 25. Let us ask for God's blessing before we do anything further. O Lord, who caused the scriptures to be written for our instruction and for our learning, be pleased to bless us now, we beseech of you, as we wait upon you. Enable us, each one, to grow in knowing you, in loving you, and in being resolved to be faithful and true to you at all times. For Jesus Christ, our Saviour's sake. Amen. Now, the verses that are before us this afternoon do not make happy reading, but they contain important lessons that each and every child of God should never, ever forget. Now, why do I say that each and every child of God should not forget the lessons that are contained in these verses? Well, think of the context. Moses is at the end of his life. It won't be long before he departs this world to be with the Lord. But before he goes, God would have him teach a song to the people of Israel, whom he has led during the years of wilderness wanderings for some 40 years or so. A song, you remember, that all of the people were to learn, that all of the people were to sing, that all of the people were to teach the up-and-coming generations to know and to sing. That's what God desired. And therefore we can say, the lessons contained in this song are lessons that the people of God in every generation are to take to heart. And we're in a section of this song where we are reminded, where we are informed, where we see that sin has consequences. Sin has consequences. We pretend too often that that's not the case, or we pretend that any consequences which may come for a sin or sins that we secretly commit will not be as intense or as serious as we thought they might otherwise be. We can kid ourselves about these things, but God would not have his people in the dark. And so we see in these few verses that we have before us, God telling his people that those who fail to be true to him can anticipate and should expect troubles and trials of some kind or another. Well, that's to put it fairly mildly. When you look at the verses, you will see that we're not just talking here of believers facing trials and difficulties. God says through his servant Moses, they'll face disasters. Isn't that the language that we find at the beginning of verse 23, for example? And I will heap disasters upon them. Who is it who will face the disasters that are spoken of in these verses? Now we'll come to the disasters in a few moments' time. Let's begin by asking ourselves afresh, who is it upon whom God will heap disasters? It's upon those who say that they belong to God, who claim to be children of God, but who are living as they want to live rather than as God wants us to live. You see, earlier on in the song, we've been reminded, haven't we, that God's people are to walk humbly and obediently with the Lord their God. That God's people are to be grateful for all the blessings that God lavishes upon his people. Oh yes, he's promised great blessings will be upon his people, but his people must be careful not to abuse the blessings, nor to misuse the blessings that he pleases to give to them. But when we come to verse 15, We see that those who claimed to be the people of God were those who were more concerned with pleasing themselves than with pleasing God. They grew fat, they kicked against God. They grew fat, stout and sleek, and they forsook God who had made them and scoffed at the rock of his salvation. A turning from God and a turning from his way of salvation. Now we may be inclined as we read these things to think, well, that's what they were like. 3,500 or so years ago. And yes, we can read in the Bible that frequently the people of Israel failed to be true to the Lord. You see, we can point at them back then and we can imagine that we're okay. But we need to remind ourselves, don't we, that we should take heed, lest in thinking we stand, we actually fall. We can be those who forsake the Lord. We can be those who forget his way of salvation. Well, be warned, those who forsake him and those who forget him will be those who experience his displeasure. That's what we're being told here in these verses. And we've summed that up already by saying sin has consequences. Yes, it is sinful to turn from the Lord, and it is sinful to turn from enjoying and embracing and making known his way of salvation. So these are the people upon whom disaster is said to come. These are the people who are warned that disaster will come if they forsake the Lord. Now, the second thing we need to do is notice something about the intensity of the disasters that will come. And we have here in verse 23 the picture painted in words of arrows. Of course, that was a weapon that was frequently used in those days, and therefore this was language that could be understood so readily by the people who first heard the words of this song. They're invited, as it were, by means of these verses to recognize that God has an armory, a quiver that is full of arrows. Arrows that can be drawn from the quiver, put to the bow, and discharged from the same. And God says, I will expend my arrows on them, on those who forsake me, on those who forget my way of salvation. So God will send judgment. He will heap disasters on them. And what will these disasters include? Well, again, language is used that we can readily identify with just as much as they 3,500 years ago could readily identify with. We know what it is for people to hunger. And we know what it is for people to be wasted with hunger. We know what it is for people to suffer plague. And we know what it is for people to be devoured by plague. We know what it is for somebody to face a poisonous pestilence and to be destroyed by it. We know what it is for beasts to come upon people, even for snakes and crawling things to sting and to inject with venom. We've seen some of these things perhaps on television. We've read about them in books. We may even know people who've been in circumstances where they have wasted from hunger. Been in an area of the world where there's been some form of plague or pestilence. Yes, God is saying there are many and various ways that I will visit those who are not faithful and true to me. Many and varied. He has an armory, and God will draw from his armory according to his sovereign choice. But what he will do is deal with those who persist in forsaking him and forgetting the way of salvation. Now let's be careful, my friends. Let's recognize how easy it is for us to put ourselves in the wrong position, for us, as it were, to usurp God's position, for us, instead of being under the Lord, to, as it were, put ourselves above the Lord, for us to say, I'm going to accept the bits of the Bible that suit me, or which I want to accept, and I'll just forget about those parts of the Bible that don't suit me. That is a form of forsaking the Lord. It may not be out and out apostasy, turning from Christ to the devil, to some false religion and way, but it's a subtle way of putting ourselves above the Lord. And it's quite possible, you see, that we can be those who think, well, my understanding of the way of salvation is the way that matters, rather than allowing ourselves to be challenged and tested and corrected by God's revelation. Everything we think and say and do is to be checked against God's word. Now, I recognize in everyday living we have to get on with things, but yet as we're listening to the word of God, as we're hearing the word of God, we are growing in understanding the ways of God, and we must apply that in our lives. As day succeeds day, we must not forget what God teaches us from his word. We must not forsake him or forget his way of salvation. And then we come to verse 25. And yes, I recognize that this verse has caused problems for people down the generations. And in particular, the problems that this verse has caused to people can be associated with the references to the people that we find mentioned in this verse. In the second part of the verse, we read of the young man and the young women. We read of a nursing child, and we read of a grey-headed, in other words, an older person. People have sinned. Why are these people, this is the sort of question you hear asked, why are the young men? Why are the young maidens? Why are the nursing children? Why are the fragile and frail elderly suffering? Is God not acting unjustly in causing his judgment to fall upon them? That's the sort of question that people have asked as they've read verse 25. And yes, we recognize, for example, in the book of Ezekiel, that we are taught and told that a son will not suffer for his father's sins. In other words, Ezekiel was used of God to tell people, to teach people, that we are responsible for our own sins. And we are the ones who will be dealt with by Almighty God for the sins of which we're guilty. But you see, in this context, we have to remember that it's not so much that point that is being made. What is being said here is that those people who forsake the Lord and forget his way of salvation, young and old alike, vulnerable as well as so-called strong, they're all responsible. And yet, we may also add, may we not, that not one of us is sinless. We have to remember that fact. We are by nature sinful people. We are by nature people who err and stray from God's ways like lost sheep. And we are responsible individually for our erring and for our straying. And the picture that is painted here in the middle verses of this song is of a people. There would have been exceptions, not doubting that for one moment, but the picture is painted of a people, young and old alike, strong and weak alike, who have forsaken the Lord and who have forgotten his way of salvation. God deals with those who claim to be his children, yet sin. To pick up the language of the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, sin pays a wage, and the wage that it pays is death. The soul that sins shall die. We must never forget that principle. But nor must we forget the principle that is being taught us here in these verses. And that is that God will deal with his people, or those who profess to be his people, who forget him and forsake him. God acts to discipline, to chasten, to correct. And you and I should be thankful when he corrects us for our sins. And so we find ourselves having to ask the question, when troubles and trials of some kind or other come, when we're facing an illness, when we're dealing with problems and perplexities, when we're in want, when we're in one or other of these situations, are we actually saying in the midst of them, Lord, what are you teaching me by means of these difficulties that I now face? We're not inclined to do that, are we? What we're inclined to do is to get bitter or angry. It's to be jealous. Why am I suffering, whereas he or she or they over there are not? That's what we tend to do when we find ourselves struggling to understand why we're in the circumstances we're in. But yet what we should be doing is humbling ourselves before the Lord, because God loves his people. And the God who loves his people is the God who will correct and chasten his people. And he is the God who will discipline his people. And he is the one who will even bring disasters, not just in ones or twos, but in great heaps upon those who forget him and forsake him. God stands ready to receive the penitent sinner. We read from Luke chapter 16. What do we have in the previous chapter, chapter 15? In the 15th chapter of Luke, you've got the parable of the prodigal son. And what is the picture of God that is put before us in that parable? The Father is on the lookout for his child who has wandered away, who's become profligate, who's wasted all the privileges and joys that have been lavished upon him. He's on the lookout for the son who comes to his senses and who returns to the Lord. And there's the reasoning and the purposes of the chastenings that come upon us. It's so that we would not rely upon ourselves. It's so that we won't stand on our own dignity. It's so that we won't rely upon our own strength, be it strength of character or physical strength, but that we would cast ourselves upon the Lord and know the Lord loving us and caring richly and gloriously for us. So though these verses are challenging verses, and in many ways are difficult verses for us to grasp and understand, what we must take to heart is that they're written for our instruction and for our learning. God inspired Moses to give the words of this song to his people all those many, many years ago, just before they entered the land of promise, where they were going to be richly provided for and blessed. God inspired Moses to give his people the words of this song, so that they would have before their minds, right at the forefront of their minds, the reality that sin has consequences. And that they would, as it were, turn that around and say, yes, sin has consequences, therefore my responsibility is to be faithful and true to my God and not to sin. That's what we should be saying to ourselves on a daily basis. Lord, keep me true. Keep me true to you. Preserve me, Lord, from making the mistake that Israel made long, long ago in the wilderness, in the land of promise, and down the generations whilst in the land of promise. Oh, Lord, preserve me from going the way that your people in ancient times went. Keep me, keep us true to you today. We look to you, Lord, for your blessing. You've promised it. You've promised it in rich and great measure. We're anticipating that we would know it. So may we, O Lord, never forget you and never forsake you or your way of salvation, but love you with all our heart and so delight in your way of salvation that we will be eager to tell others of it with the earnest prayer that they would seek the Lord themselves whilst he may be found, and that they would escape from the wrath that is to come whilst the opportunity to do so is before them. Let's pray. O most gracious and most merciful Father in heaven, we thank you that you challenge us by means of your word, and we thank you that you instruct and teach us so that we would be those, O Lord, who ever seek to be faithful and true to you, to be loyal in your service. We thank you, Lord, that we see it revealed to us in the scriptures, that those who will be with Christ forevermore in the new heavens and the new earth are those who are faithful, loyal, and true. Grant, Lord, that each of us would ever seek to be faithful, loyal, and true to you. And grant, Lord, that we would not fall into the error that too many who have professed faith in years past have fallen into. And Lord, we especially pray this as we consider the state of the nation and of the churches within the nation today. For, O Lord, it grieves us so much that we see too many in the churches imbibing and following the spirit of the present age, too many allowing themselves to be squeezed by the world into its mould. O Lord our God, have mercy upon us and enable us to be faithful and true to the very end. For Jesus Christ, our Saviour's sake. Amen.